42 years ago, I was called to preach. Man, I'm getting old. Anyway, when God called me to preach, I knew that He was calling me, as I had listed on before I went to school, on a chaplaincy. First of all, I think it was evangelism, chaplaincy, and pastorate. That's what I said my calling was. So I sort of filled in all of that, huh? But when I was studying and ready to go into prison systems, we were offered an opportunity, and that opportunity was this. Okay, and we had to have our badges, but we could either wear crosses, like you will see on my collar today, or not. I chose to wear crosses on every shirt that I had. As my wife and I would sometimes, when they buy those new shirts and she hears me hammering a nail through the collar, I knew that each lick made her shiver. But through those holes I placed crosses, as you see. In those days, as Faye reminded me, they were larger crosses. And would go in, and I remember the criticism I was receiving. Don't ever criticize a man or woman who says, this God has called me to do this. Because that's just like saying, sick 'em to a dog. I figured that if it aggravated that many people, surely it was in God's will. But the focus was, you look too much like a Catholic. Well, I grew up in an era out of E-Town, where it was almost like Catholics walked on one side of the street and Baptists walked on the other. Wanted to have friends, did have friends, but they were covert. Catholic friends in a generation of nothing but pure prejudice. Everybody had determined that they were right. I belonged to a church down in Greene County that I thought was the only church really going to heaven. And even as a kid, I was trying to figure out, we can't even get along here. How are they going to get along in heaven? But the crosses meant something different to me than they meant to the security system and all. The crosses I kept on my collar during that period of time to remind me of my commitment. Every time the opportunity would come around for me to step back in the world, it seemed like the reflection of the crosses on my collar reminded me of the commitment I'd made to Jesus Christ, to my Savior, and the calling He had given me. So I kept those crosses shiny. And every time I'd look in a mirror, sometimes I would go to look in the mirror and consider, I think I'll take them off. Now, you know what periods of time that was. But I did not through the system. But you see, it wasn't a metal cross. It was what it represented and who. The what was my salvation and my calling. The who was Jesus Christ. It was there to remind me of the commitment that I had made, not to become of one denomination or another. I will tell you this, when God called me to preach, during that period of time, I was on my face begging Him to show me, Lord, I don't care what denomination it is, lead me in the direction You want me, and I will go. And I was sweating it. Because what if God led me in a denomination that wasn't Southern Baptist? I would be condemned, and probably my soul would have been condemned by man. Here's the problem. The problem is that we are living in a generation of church wars. Star Wars is nothing. War of the Worlds, nothing. All the wars you can imagine, nothing. Nothing so vicious and devastating as church wars. From the time that Jesus Christ came in a manger, going to the cross, there's been war against his church. But the wars have escalated over the years. The battles have taken its toll on the warriors. And many are just completely wore out. My calling has never been to be wore out. My calling as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ is to keep going until you can no longer go. And then the Lord would come and pick up what's left of you and carry you the rest of the way. It's a war of the churches. Church wars span from generation to generation. There's always been a mega church war. Well, that church is larger than this church. We need to quit looking. Folks, the large churches reach out and to the lost people to save souls. Leave it alone. That's not our problem. The small church is to reach out and save souls. Leave them alone. That's not our problem. The wars of I'll build bigger, I'll build better, we will entice folk to come. I've warned and warned, be careful. Today you'll be offered a hot dog to come. Tomorrow another outfit will offer you a pizza to leave. God says, I want you strong. We have the denominational wars. I've always been aggravated with my own denomination. Well, now we've got to make sure that the Southern Baptists reach the most people. I want the people reached. I don't care whether they're Southern Baptist or them there Methodist. I want people reach for Christ. You and I must look to the problems of our land, and because we as Christians should understand, as we look to that problem, we have an answer. That's why so many despise the Christian faith. Christians walk around acting like we know. You really think you're going to heaven, Larry? I know I'm going to heaven. Now see, that's the arrogance of you Christians. You really believe that anyone could know? No. Lost people don't know. You didn't ask me that. Do I know? Yeah, I know. And I'm more than willing to share with you so you can know. But I'm not going to argue with you about which denomination you ought to be a part of. Try the denomination of Jesus, family of believers. Then there's the racial church wars. Well, you can't come here because you're white. You can't come here because you Indian, you redskin, you yellow skin. You can't come here because you're black. You can't come to my church because you're white. Folks, we need to be getting over ourselves. Because I happen to bleed American. I happen to bleed Christ. I happen to bleed the blood that Christ has given me to bleed. And I, as God's servant, must serve him, not a denomination or a racial group. And then there's the social church wars. Now, when you go out to witness, I want you to make sure that you take its street, because that street and that whole little community, they're loaded with professionals, teachers, lawyers. Are lawyers professionals? Anyway, teachers, you know, lawyers, doctors, and all of this. I couldn't help that. When you've been in the correctional system as long as I have, it just comes natural. But think of it. What about people who are lost? I don't care how much money they have. I don't care the prestige within a community. I care about Jesus Christ in their heart, where they can know that they're going to heaven, where they can know that there's a God in heaven that loves them. A snotty-nosed kid from Buffalo Hill. I didn't need a handkerchief as a child. I had an arm. And God said, you're going to preach. Lord, I know you've never made a mistake. This could be the first one. But you see, God doesn't. He knows. Because he created us. He said, I knew you before you were ever conceived. And I want you to know, Larry, my church family can never ever be defeated from the outside. There's no church fellowship that I put together that anyone in the outside world can destroy. But Galatians 5:15 reads, as Paul's talking to the church at Galatia, remember, the Bible is written to the church. The New Testament to the church. The Old Testament to the church, the Jewish nation. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. Huh? Really? Christians love. Well, you go to a church and they're nothing but pure love with Christians. Nobody talks against anybody else. Well, nobody would dare make an insinuation or mislead, and then they get to church. If you ever wonder why the world doesn't want to come to church, all they got to do is wait till after church and get to see the same people in the same bars or same world. You see, God set us up to be different. Not to criticize and condemn others, but to be different. That the Christian would never ever to turn on a fellow Christian, ever. And the Christian society of the first century church would never ever allow it to happen. No backbiting, none of that. You'll find out in a moment why. It's one of the seven deadly sins God hates. Put them all together and you have an abomination before God. But God said, I want you to pay attention. And I want each of us here, I'm going to read a scripture here in a moment. It'll be Gospel of John 3, verses 5 through 7. Now, I've been in this, I don't get in these arguments with these foolish people, but you need to read God's Word. You want to learn something? What does God say? This is Jesus speaking. Well, yeah, but now, Brother Vance, you got to listen to me. As a chaplain, you're responsible. We have to get them baptized. Of course, in the system, am I for baptism, water baptism? Sure, it's an ordinance of the church, people. But do I believe that that water baptism saves? No. There's only one salvation. His name is Jesus, and it's his blood. That's my outward expression of my inward condition of what I believe. I believe in Jesus. I believe in the death, the burial, and his resurrection. Woo! Born again. But then they say, when I see the scripture says, you got to be born of water. You know, it's amazing to me how many super intelligent people are so dumb, have no wisdom of God's word. I want you to look at it. Who makes up God's church on earth? The born, meaning human being. If you're not a human being, folks, then you're not going to make up the kingdom. And the kingdom was set aside for God's people. Listen to it. The born, which is human, and the born again, which is spiritual. That's what makes up the kingdom. Now listen to me. Jesus answered them, Nicodemus, you're supposed to be pretty smart, son. You're a Pharisee, but you greatly err because you neither know the scripture nor the power of God. Listen to what he says here. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Yeah, that's what it said. baptism. So verse 6, Jesus explains what he just said. He had to do that all the time. You do know that. Because he's looking at that 1,000-yard stare from those who followed him. What'd he say? What'd he mean? He is born of water and the Spirit. Then he says, he explains it. Jesus says, flesh gives birth to flesh. That's the water baptism. Ask any woman. Gosh, I remember the time when they wore raincoats and anything else. Nobody was to ever know or recognize that they were with child because they would have been accused of having sex with their husband. That was horrible in those days. Flesh gives birth to the flesh. But the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. You're a human being. Heaven is made up of human beings born again in the Spirit. Flesh and blood united together. Does it not tell us the story of Jesus, of God? The Spirit coming as flesh and blood? Think of it. He says, I'm allowing you to be a part of my family. You got a homecoming coming. But he says, you got to be careful. So let me ask you this. Knowing this, and Jesus says it. Now, when I say I'm a conservative Christian, I mean that if Jesus said it, I believe it. Now, everybody will play all the games you want to. Jesus said it, I believe it. If I don't understand what he said because of the language it is, then you will study and study and pray until you understand it. Because if he says it, I believe it. So why would God's children, the true born-again believers, why would we do the very things that God hates and considers an abomination? Why would we do it? If I tell you that I'm a Christian, and then you read in Scripture God hates this, and I'm going to do what God hates, no wonder nobody wants to come to church. I don't blame them. Do you? Well, you say you believe this. Well, I believe it when I'm at church because the preacher yells. Let's listen to it. Proverbs 6, verse 16 through 19. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven in the old English. That'd be yay, seven are an abomination to him. Now let's listen to this abomination. Number one, a proud look. I belong to such and such a church. Stand back. A proud look. Do you know what amazed the people about Jesus? On the way to Golgotha to give all for you and for me, people were ashamed. They turned away because they saw him as a failure. They looked at him as a man who did not complete his mission. He raised the dead. Can he not raise himself? Can he not keep from dying on that cross if God is his Father? Therefore, we, and they were so distinguished with their phylacteries, you know, their great robes and box on their head with the Word of God. I'll tell you something, folks. You can carry that Bible around all you want or wear a box on your head. If you don't have the Word of Jesus Christ in your heart, you as lost as it come and have no hope without Him. Number two, a lying tongue. I know people that will lie when the truth sounds better. And the truth is better. Well, I just can't help it. You can't help it. Okay. Number three, hands that shed innocent blood. Oh, folks, those who mutilate the unborn and destroy the children, I can tell you that they are looked at by God Almighty as a hate in His heart for those who do them. Now, you don't want God hating you. You got it? But God is love. Yeah, God is also wrath. Did you read the book? He said, I hate these things. Hands that shed innocent blood, that'll take an innocent child and lead them in the wrong direction. Maybe they didn't abort them, but they will mistreat that child. And I got to get off of it. Number four, a heart that devises wicked plans. King David went through his whole calling and life dodging those who had wicked plans for his life. They wanted to kill him. This man must never become king. Let me tell you about presidents and kings. God said, I put them on the throne and I'll take them out. He said, I'm quite capable of doing both. Feet, number five, that are swift in running to evil. Now, don't you all go over there. You all just wait. I'll go check it out for you. Now, I'll come back and report on it. But I might not be able to make it back till tomorrow morning. Got to have a lot of research to do. That seems to be the mind of this nation. Number six, dangerous. When we look at thou shalt not lie, actually the scripture says thou shalt bear no false witness. Here it is again, a false witness who speaks lies. Actually, that deals with the witness in the court of law of any government. A false witness who speaks lies. Don't you remember? Everything they said Jesus did and they was convicted for was all a lie. Guess maybe that should have something to do why God hates it. Number seven. Here's the key that brings it all together as an abomination before Almighty God. Remember? Yes, or yea, seven are an abomination to him. What's that number seven? One who sows discord among the brethren. Sowing discord among the brothers. I have nothing to do with individuals who do that. Well, you hate them. No, I don't. Actually, I feel sorry for them because they've already lost. I read the book. They've already lost. They lose character. They lose any kind of commitment that anyone would make to them. They lose the power of God's Holy Spirit to make a difference. You're not going to make a difference on your own. It's going to be the Holy Spirit of Almighty God if there's any difference ever to be made. So therefore, I can say and proclaim, okay, this is who I am, and yet do the very things that God hates. That's why people don't come to church. Because if they can get you talking about another Christian outside, then why would they want to come? The person who will talk to you about someone will talk about you to someone else. You don't build anything on your own thinking or to take away from other fellowships. Read the article I wrote, please. Because here's what I want the wicked to hear. Here's what I want those who do this. This is called wickedness. Now listen, Proverbs 6, 12 through 15. Here's how the wicked act, God says. What are worthless and wicked people like? Now, I didn't say that. I'm reading it. They are constant liars, signaling their deceit with a wink of an eye, a nudge of the foot, or a wiggle of the finger. Their perverted hearts plot evil, and they constantly stir up trouble. That's the wicked. That's why your pastor tells them to go somewhere else, because it's not of God. You cannot say you're of God and go against what God teaches. Here's the sad ending to this. This breaks my heart, folks. The sad ending. Verse 15. But they will be destroyed suddenly, broken in an instant, beyond all hope of healing. Man, take the hope away from you. From me, there's nothing left. You know, I don't just have hope for the supper meal. I know I got a seat at the table at my party. Jesus said, I'm going to throw a banquet, Larry. And then he names us. As he calls us by name and he says, welcome to my party. You coming? You're going to go to one of two parties. You're going to go to the supper time party with Jesus. Are you going to go to the party of hell? You don't want any part of that. You preachers just preach about hell to scare people. Scared the far out of me. Yeah. Really, do you not think that eternal damnation by God, that's hell? But the worst part of it is not the fire. You're not going to know anyhow. I'm going down there to have a party with my friends. Every one of them may be there, but you won't know it. It's pure loneliness, pure darkness, and pure pain physically, because at the resurrection of the lost, they are resurrected in a human state. We're resurrected in a glorified state like Jesus. And they will have to live in their human body throughout eternity. I'm doing all I can do to stick with this body right now. I don't want it through eternity, do you? No. Because you see, I got a party to go to. I got my name. The Lord's putting my name, you know, right there on the seat. Larry Pete said here. Now, folks, I don't care how close is that to the head of the... Folks, I made it to the table. Shut up. I'm there. And I know it. But until I get there, you and I as Christians, we have a responsibility right here, right now, to each other, to God's church. We need to get about our Father's business. And that's the facts of God's Word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise your holy name for your love, your forgiveness, your touch. Father, we ask now once again for the mercy upon the world. For man has taken over. But Father, we know that only through prayer will you allow us, man, to see you take it back for us. Give us the strength, courage, Father, because we sure are messed up down here. And I ask, Father, as you guide us to protect the fellowship you've given me, Lord, I pray that your healing hand will be upon each one. I pray that your protection as they travel, Father, will surround them with your power as you send them back home. Father, it is through you, of you, by you, that I know that we have this peace. I ask now for this blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.